I want, yes. Now, the Bible ended with a beginning. And the Bible also started with a beginning, right? And the Bible ended, it didn't end with the end. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think it's about the only book I know that ended, that the ending ended with a beginning. Because most books will start a story and they will finish the story. The Bible ended with a beginning. What was that beginning? That was like we discussed last week, in the last meeting. Why were you created? Part 1. The Bible ended with a beginning. Revelation 21. What did he say? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, they were passed away and there were no more sin. So God eroded what happened? God eroded what happened before, right? There was a beginning in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. So the Bible started with the beginning. So along the line, beginning, that's when all of us know, it's a common knowledge that there was sin came in and there was problem. And God had to destroy that world, right? So, I would say that everything we have from when sin came in, when? Revelation 3, when man sinned. Genesis chapter 3, sorry, when man sinned. Please be correcting me if I make mistakes. So, in Genesis 3, man sinned. And everything started tumbling. Even before man sinned, so it's not, it did not even start with the sin of man. In Revelation 3, Satan appeared, right? So, thank you. In Genesis 3, Satan appeared. And now the serpent, right? That's how chapter 3 started. So, then everything scattered, right? See, everything God wanted to do scatter. Is that not what I'm saying? Then scatter, keep scattering, until Jesus had to come somewhere, right? And stop everything from total collapse. Then after everything, he stopped everything, was total collapse, and restored everything back. Then God started all over again. And that God starting all over again is Revelations what? In Revelation 21, 22, and he stopped there. So we're not even given detail of the new world. So I want to even ask you, tell me, how is that new world, and that new life going to look like? Eh? Not Genesis 1, I'm saying Revelation 21. He said everything was restored. There was no more sin again, there was no this. A lot of those things. Then the things you read in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, I think some of them in the new beginning of Revelation 21, 22. The Bible talks about the tree of life and for the healing of the nations. The Bible talks about the light. But this time again, it says there's no need of the light of the sun. Start about light. Some of the things you see in the first beginning, start seeing it in the new beginning, and the Bible ended there. So what next? So what is in Revelation chapter 2? What will happen in Revelation chapter 23? No, Emeka is a Bible teacher, so you'll be able to, maybe be able to download it to us. No, have you even thought beyond Revelation chapter 22? Yes, in quote, let me say in quote, because he's just talking about a life began. What I mean by what is in Revelation 23 is not writing another book of Revelation chapter 23. What is going to happen? How is the life going to be looking like? Abby, they say a new life is going to start. A new world is going to start. And then the Bible ended there. We are not giving detail of that life. Eh? You say? You don't know any other detail. Everything stops there. So that's why I say the Bible also ended with what? Another beginning. And I said that I wrote something on the board that God does not change his course, right? Where God was going is not as if because of the sin, God gave man a higher destiny. I used to believe that before, but in the few days ago, I don't believe it anymore. That after man's sin, God gave man a higher destiny. That destiny has always been there. It's just that God has not gotten to that place before the work was aborted. Now, I want you to ask another question. I'm just making some bullet question to provoke our thoughts. What if man has obeyed God? All that happened. Had obeyed God, yes. Eh? Okay. Praise the Lord. I asked us that if the man had not fallen in that in that garden. Eh? But the Bible says Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world. Eh? Eh? Praise the Lord. I'm just saying that to provoke your thought, and don't go and forge revelation for yourself. Anyone the Holy Ghost does not give you, leave it there. You just know that this thing happened, just stop there. The day it gives you understanding in that area, good, take it. But if it has not given you understanding in that area, that's how people enter the spirit of error. Because you must explain it. There are things you see, say, leave it there. It's not, it doesn't concern you. The person that will give the revelation is the man that Peter healed at Gate Beautiful. Jesus was passing that man. But this was the same Jesus that healed everybody in the villages or anybody that comes across him. Jesus was passing that man, he did not heal him because it was not for him to heal him. It was Peter. Abi? Peter. Silver and gold we don't have. But so you know God works with purpose. There are purposes in God. So praise the Lord. So just to guide us in the place or in the space of revelation so that understanding so that you know go and be going to enter into it. So I was saying the Bible ended with a beginning. So I need two people now. I want to give an illustration. So Bro Jayoba, stand here. Bro Marvin, stand here. Now, listen. I made a statement. I want to explain it before I continue further. This is the first beginning. You know, need you to understand it because so that, you know, you can be able, it will help you to put things in perspective. It will help you to understand certain things that happens in your life or to how to interpret things that even happen in your life and to strengthen you for, you know, that you have a journey, you know that you are going somewhere. I also wrote something there that I will still come to it. Now, this is the first beginning and this is the second beginning. When God stood in this first beginning, praise the Lord, please I want you to listen. When God stood in this first beginning, he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. He made the man. Then God gave the man authority. Abi? He said, let them have what?
Dominion.
Over what? Over the fish of the sea. Please open your Bible. Open your Bible. Eh? Over the fish of the sea. Now, this is very, very interesting. So I need your undivided attention. Praise the Lord. So when God made this man, this is the man that stood, this is the man in the first beginning, in Genesis 1 and 2, right? In between here, these are where the whole thing scatter, and Jesus restored everything. Then we now enter Revelation 2, and this is the new beginning, right? This is where man stands here now, and is beginning another destiny, which will have in Revelation 2 in 2:22. This is what we're saying. Now listen. When God stood here, please, who is reading Genesis 1:26 for us? Okay, hold on. All right.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Praise the Lord. If you don't get this thing I'm saying now, except you may still get it later as God helps you, but something very key will have missed from your understanding. Now, God said, let him have dominion over what? Everything there can be listed at earth, right? God gave him authority and dominion over the earth. Praise the Lord. That was the that is the first in the first beginning, right? Then that was the promise that God, the authority, the power that God gave the man in the first beginning. Then I say this is the second beginning in Revelation 21:22. Now, what was the promise and the authority given to this man? Before I get to that, the second man. In the first man, I say God gave him, listen, look at me. God gave him authority over the earth. Was the heaven mentioned? The earth. God gave him authority over the earth. So it will guide, it will tailor our understanding. Then the authority, the promise given to this second man. So I want you now to compare to what was given to the first man. Praise the Lord. I made one promise that God does not change his course, right? He said he gets to his destination. And even if it means that he gets to the same destination by a more difficult means. I will explain that statement. So, what is the promise look at Revelation 2:7. Revelation 2:7, what does it say?
If you have ears, then
and listen to what, if you have ears, then listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To those who win the victory, I will give the right to eat the fruit of the tree of life that grows in the garden of God.
Okay, now let me just mention so that I don't read everyone. Now, he say, I'll give him authority to eat the tree of life. Then go to Revelation 2:11. You see this next second promise there. That he will not be hurt by the second death.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death.
Okay, this is a real study. Be opening your Bible. So, then go to Revelation 2:17. What is the first promise? That he will eat the tree of life. The second promise, you will not be hurt by the second death. What is the third promise?
What the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcome, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone. And on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it.
Okay, that's the number three. Revelations 2. What is number three? What is the promise? What is the third promise? Are we not following? No, he said I will give him a new name. Hidden man, all those things, but he said I will give him a new name. I'll give him a new name. Okay. Then Revelations 2:26. That's the fourth one.
2:26. And he overcomes and keeps my works until the end. To him I will give power to overcome the nation.
I will give power to overcome the nation. I want you to compare the promise given to the first man in the first beginning. And then the promise given to the second man, to the... Can I use the word second man? The second man in the new beginning. You know, it will go a lot to explain a lot of things so that you can even understand the Bible itself. Not just, it's not just about proclaim to claim. Abi, claim and, you know, and give testimony. No. So that you can understand the heart of your father. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's number four. Then number five, go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Who is there? Nobody else is in apart from Emmanuel. Abi?
He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my father and before his angels.
He said that we introduce him to the father. I will confess his name before the father and the angels. So, I need me to be writing it down. Number one, he will eat of what? The tree of life. Number two, he will not be hurt by the second death. Number three, I'll give him a new name. That means a new identity. You just want to hear that it's in Christ. It's a new creation, right? It's a new creation. Okay, that's I see a new name, a new identity. Number four. What did you read in number four? Yeah, sir. That means I'm going to give him authority. You see the things given, the promises given to the seven churches in Revelations is pattern what happened in the life of Christ. Yes. It pattern what happened in the life of Christ. I will show us from the scriptures. And it's also pattern God's purpose for the man in the book of Genesis. That the first beginning. The life of the man in the first beginning. I will explain it as we go on. Number five. He said, I will now introduce him to the father, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Introduce him to the father and his angels, right?
Yes,
okay. Then we've not read number six, Abby. That would be Revelation chapter 3, verse 12.
He who overcomes.
Okay, hold on. All right.
He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name.
Okay, that means God said I'm going to give him a place in my house, right? I'm going to make him a pillar in my temple, a place in my house, or a pillar in my temple. Well, the last one, that should be Revelation 3:21.
Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my father on his throne.
Praise the Lord. This guy hear me shout glory.
Glory.
Okay. Here, yeah, he will sit with me on my... Now, can you see? Look at the... Now, what was the promise given to the first man? What does it cover? It covers the earth. Have dominion, have authority, this and all of those things. Then, Now, this is the this all of these things you are hearing. They are tokens of the new identity of the man in the new in the second beginning. That's the second beginning that we're going to have. Now, it began with what? What it started with what? It started with eating what? It started with eating the tree of life, and it ended with where? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You can sit down now. Okay, you can sit down now. Look at it. Now I'm going to use it to parallel to explain some things in the garden, in the Genesis, and explain it in the life of Christ, so that we can understand the first and the second man. Now, then I will now bring it to God's purposes for man. He started with what? Tree of life. Eating the tree of life. And ended with what? Ended the throne. Okay, so he put that one in one pocket. Then, this is a question I wrote here. I say, what is the destiny of, what is the destiny of man? He said, what is the destiny of man? What is the destiny of man? Eh? Okay. It's a part of it. What qualifies man to sit on the throne? Eh? Eh? Yeah, you are right now, but you are right. To overcome, what qualifies man to be to sit on the throne? Praise the Lord. The answer is simple. It's simply having God's nation. Praise the Lord. Yes, to sit on the throne is we call it God's throne. That's the throne that God sits upon. So what qualifies man to sit on the throne is having God's nature. What the destiny of man is in Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Praise the Lord. So in that word is not a destination. That word God spoke in Genesis 1. From part of what I said in the last meeting, it's not a destination, it was a calling. Praise the Lord. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So I said it was a calling. Praise the Lord. So the day the man stood, there was a calling on his head. Yes, that's why I wrote here, it's a journey. You know, it's a journey. God calling, he's going to journey to that image and he's going to journey to that likeness. Praise the Lord. He had it in a measure. You know, he had it, permit me to use the word, in a measure, because it was sinless, everything. But, you know why I say so? He's, that man standing in Genesis, as mentioned in the course of the last meeting, was not God's image and God's likeness. How did I know? Go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Please, let's do some reading. Open Hebrews 1, 3. Somebody should open Colossians.
Hebrews chapter
1. Okay, let's make her read.
Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory,
okay,
and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. 4.
Okay. No, read that verse 3 again.
Who being the brightness of his glory.
Who is the brightness of his glory?
Christ.
Okay.
And the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, he said, let us make man in our image. Now, what is that image? That's why I'm going to. That's why I asked that, what is the destiny of man? What is that image? He said, let us make man in our image. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 2 Corinthians 4:4. What does it say?
In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
They say Christ, the image of God. Now, then the man that God made in Genesis, what is the difference between that man and Christ? If you want to compare the two of them together. The man in Genesis, he said, let us make man in our image. So God made a man standing, you see, that man image. Then when you put him stand and put Christ stand, what is the difference between the two of them? What is the distance? If you want to compare them. Eh? Now I'm not talking about origin. I'm talking about in terms of person. If this one stand and this one stand. Eh? No, they said two of them are image. I want in terms of class, in terms of quality. No, can you compare the two in terms of understanding, in terms of the ability to obey, in terms of the love for the Father, in terms of so when you put the two of them stand by, that's why I'm saying you compare. They say, let us make man in our image. And I say that image we saw in Genesis, I'm now comparing to another image that we later saw. Praise the Lord. We later saw on earth. So, and I want to, and I was started telling you that that image, that man God made in Genesis 1 was to journey to that image. He was not ready, he was not yet there, he was not ready yet made. Praise the Lord. So, but I say Christ, that's why I say should compare the two of them, because they say, who is the image of God? Christ, right? Go to, okay. Now, because if they say Christ is the image and Adam is the image, which one is the image? Now, go to Colossians chapter 1 verse 15.
I read from verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature.
You see that image you see in Christ, right? When God made man in the beginning, the man had a calling, and that calling was to journey to that image that Christ came to typify. It's like a snapshot. Christ came to show us that a picture later. That was where the man was supposed to get to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what you had there, we had a calling on him. That's why all these things I wrote down there, I'm going to use it to explain it. You know, he had a calling on his life. You know, God give, sometimes God just give one sentence or just speak one simple word. But a lot of things are embedded in that word. It's just like the Bible said that, he said we are complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power, right? We know that this is a spiritual reality. But experientially, we are supposed to journey to that completeness. True or false? No, true or false? He said you are complete in Christ. He said he has given you all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is already yours. You are already seated in it, right? But on earth, it's a journey you are supposed to take. You are supposed to grow from faith to faith. Abi, glory what? Glory to glory. Can you see the journey faith to faith? He keep journeying. He said that I may be made conformable unto what? Unto his death. That I may know him, that I may be like him or something. Can you see that heart cry from even the apostles? So there was a calling on man the day that God made man. And that was calling was a calling of what? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. That is where God's man's purpose is hidden in that word. Hidden and revealed in that word. Let me use that word. So all of the other one you are seeing that let him have dominion over the earth and every, I told us he's secondary, right? From the last meeting, if you were here, I told us he's secondary. That God gave him authority over the earth. But that was not man's first part of his assignment calling, but man's basic calling was image to be like God. The image and the likeness calling. And in the day that God he had made him, he didn't know much. Praise the Lord. Even the knowledge, his knowledge was low, right? That was what we established last time, that if you even look at the manner of the temptation, the everything, you know that his knowledge of spiritual thing was not solid. God could have told him and told him one or two things, but if you look at when Jesus stood, you can imagine when Adam stood and he was tempted. Imagine Jesus stood in the same place that he was tempted. Can you see the response from both of them? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, now, one more scripture again. Colossians 1:19, and then I'll ask a question. I'll use that question to answer that please. Now I say, what is that image? I'm going to start explaining that one. So I told you that the man had a long journey. Colossians 1:19 and Colossians 2:9. Just put your hands there. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to use to answer that question. So I say, what is now? We know that the image, Christ is the image. The Bible says, who is the image of the invisible God? Who is how that image should look like? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How that image, it gives you a snapshot of that image that God was calling man into. Praise the Lord. Now, The same call that is hanging over the head of man. The same call is the same call that is hanging over my head and is hanging over your head. Praise the Lord. It's the same call from the beginning. Now, what is that image? I want to explain that image now. Have you opened that Colossians? Okay, please, you can read for us. Can read that Colossians.
For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself.
No, okay, just that's 19. Just read 19, then go to chapter 2, verse 9.
For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Now, 2:9. For in him dwells all fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Okay, I'm going to itemize things that you find in God's image. Okay, let me take that your translation.
For the full contents of the divine nature lives in Christ, in his humanity.
Okay. Now, do you know how all these things I'm asking you, I'll come and explain. Do you know why the promise given at the first beginning and the promise given at the second divine, they are not the same thing? The one at the second beginning is higher, true or false? That one talks about sitting with God on his throne, but this one talks about having dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the birds, over everything that creep. But look at when man stood and God gave him another point, another promise. He said, you will sit with me on my throne. I'll make you a pillar in my temple. He said, I will introduce you to the Father and to his angels. This one, God was coming to meet him in the garden. Praise the Lord. God created the first man, put him in the garden. The man never ascended to heaven. Hope you are aware. That's why Jesus said, no man has ascended to heaven. Only he that came down from heaven. So the man had, he did not go to heaven. It's established. So the man's was because he had a calling on him. So what I'm saying is that the second man, God said, I'm going to introduce you to the Father and his angels. I'm going to give you a pillar, make you a pillar in the temple of God. And I'm going to make you sit with me on my throne. Just like I sat with the Father on his throne. I'll show you the difference between the two. Praise the Lord. It's in one word. that's why I'm writing it down so that I will not forget. Then, okay. Now, I told about what is that image. Now, I want to open up the content of what is called being the image of God. What dwells inside of him? Colossians 2:9. What is inside? The fullness of. So when you had that, let us make man in our image. This is what is part of, look, part of it. I'm writing it. I'm breaking it down so down there. Let us make man in the fullness of the Godhead. Praise the Lord. What did you read in Colossians 1:19? Please, fast. No, 1:19. Where is it? It's where? Where is all the fullness? It's in him. That it pleased God that in him, the Father, that in him all the fullness should what? No, I'm trying to open the content, the package of what we call image. Image and likeness.
For it was by God's own decision that the Son has in himself the full nature of God.
In him dwell the full nature of God. All this thing we are talking, I'm trying to, you know, we know that let us make mine our image, we know that image, but the content of what that image means. Open to John 10:30. John 10:30.
I am a father.
Okay. I and my father are. No, I want to tell you, I want to open up God's vision as at the beginning when he was talking about man. He wants to make man. Where he had the mind that man will get to. Where he had that man will try get to. Praise the Lord. And it's going to be a spiritual journey he's going to take. So, the man that God made in the beginning, was he in the context of all of these things? Oh. You know, let the Bible speak. Open to Romans 5. The purpose of this study, I will emphasize it so that I will not mix it up. We are not trying to understand revelation, understanding. We are trying to know the heart of why, what you are even doing here on earth. What God had in mind that when God was thinking about you, when he said man, put your name there. When you hear Adam, Adam is not here, you are the one here. You are Adam. Praise the Lord. Amen. As of that time, then when you now hear the new man in Christ, you are the new man in Christ. So, all of the above, everything is you. So, and then the rest of your brethren. Have you seen it? Can you read Romans 5:14? Who is reading? Okay, Brother Michael.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come?
He was a figure of him that was to come. What does that mean? You know, this is a Bible study. We are looking at the Bible together. You see, Adam was the... He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And the Bible now says, Adam was the figure. Eh? Was a prototype of him, that image that God, that man you saw, was a prototype of what... Was he yet a prototype of what God has in mind? Even for that same man. Praise the Lord. So, now you say, I and the Father are one, right? Okay, look at John chapter 14, verse 6. So, I'm trying to explain what does the image mean. What God has in mind as his image. What God is calling the destiny of man. That's why I say, what is the destiny of man? I'll read that one, then we'll now go and read Romans chapter 8. Please, if I forget, forget. Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to him, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him.
Okay. He said, if you have seen me, eh? Number four, how do I put this point now? He said, if you have seen what? Me, right? You have seen who? Why did he say so? Because Hebrews 1 says the Son is the express image or the exact representation of who the Father is. Praise the Lord. That is the destiny that God had called man into. Man was supposed to, in fact, I said, recognize. That means if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've recognized me, you've recognized the Father because... He said, I and the Father. John 10:10 say what? John 10:10 say, I and the Father are what? Are one. It's just like two identical twins. That if you've seen this person exactly, you have seen the next person. Do you get what I'm saying? So this is the image that we're talking about. This is the image core. This is the destiny of man. Then look at Romans 8. Romans 8:28. Okay. Now please read it.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
What is the meaning of predestination? Eh?
For those whom he has already chosen.
For those whom God had already chosen, he also set apart to become like his Son, so that the Son will be the eldest brother in a large family.
Praise the Lord. So the analysis is simple. What does predestination mean? That destiny in advance? In advance. This is your destiny. It's just like showing your destiny in advance. So he has predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. That was the destiny of man. To be conformed to the image of his Son. But that's why I told us the analogy that the man standing in Genesis and in the first beginning, if you put two of them together, can you compare the two of them? In terms of knowledge, in terms of understanding, in terms of light, in terms of character, you know, in terms of... So, you say, we have been predestinated. The word predestinated... We have been given a destiny in advance. That's why I say, what is the destiny of man? So if I ask us that question now, what's the answer?
The destiny of man is to have the image of God.
Now, go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I'll read this one myself. Are we all there? Can I read? Okay. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, now are we the sons of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, right? This is our ultimate destiny, right? What we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, when we see him, we shall be what? We shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. He said, Jesus is coming. He said, the day Jesus will unveil himself, when we see him, he said, we'll just become like him. That image thing and that likeness thing. And that image thing we're talking about is, can you see it? Can you see that movement? So, When God first of all created man, he was to journey, he was to undertake that journey. And that journey is, as you know God, listen, last week we majored more about knowing God. As you know God, what happens? As you know God, you become like him. That's the ultimate destiny and that's the ultimate calling of man. They say, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Praise the Lord. God is immortal and God is eternal. So let us make man in our image and in our likeness. That, you see, that first John, he said, when we see him, we will become like him. Just one gaze on God. That is what we need to get into our head. He said, we will become like him. The Bible says in Philippians 3 again that we are citizenship of heaven. You know that from where we are waiting for the Savior, that when he comes, he will change our vile body to become like his glorious, to become like his own body. Praise the Lord. That he will change it to become like his own body. Then I'm showing us multiple scriptures now to align it with this understanding. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. No, don't worry, I'll read it. Are we there? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. You see, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promise, that through this we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through law. I say what qualifies you to sit on the throne is that divine nature. When you are like God himself. Praise the Lord. So this has been the calling. So when God made man, God was thinking very deep. God was thinking a being that he's going to share his nature with. He's going to share his nature, he's going to share his identity, you know, he's going to share things with. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's far, far. Okay, look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, are we there? Now look at verse 22. He said, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. He said, to an innumerable company of what? This destiny and the destiny at the beginning, are they the same thing? He's talking about fellowship. You know, that one, you had only God coming in the cool of the day and interacting with the man. I will tell you why he was not given access to some certain things. You know? Yes. You know? Why there was no access. I'll show it when I explain the life of Christ. Now, listen. He said, look at now, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speak better things than Abel. Now, this is what I want to explain. Who did the Bible say is the image of the invisible God? Or who is the Bible say is the image of God? Hope you knew that Jesus grew into that image. I say, hope you are aware that Jesus grew into that image. Now, look. You know, look at it. Even Jesus that was the Son of God, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was what? God. But when he appeared on earth, praise the Lord, when he became a man, the Bible says Jesus had to grow. Most of the things, I'll show you how most of the things that Jesus enjoyed, it was a fruit of one thing. I don't want to call that word. So, until I get to that point. So, Jesus himself had to grow into that image. That when I say, let us make man in our image after life, you think the day they just gave birth to the man, he was just that image and that life. That's what I'm saying. No. It was the man had a calling on his life. And that calling has interact with God, has a fellowship with God. And as he, there's something I don't want to mention the name. I'll soon mention the name after I explain this one. And as he does that, he will now begin to break into that image. Having failed in that respect, that's how Jesus had to come and die and all of those things like that. So, now, which portion of the Bible did I say we should open? Luke. Open to Luke now. If your Bible is in your hand, open to it.
And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Who grew?
Jesus.
Who grew?
Jesus.
The child grew and waxed strong in what? This. Okay, please, your own translation.
I'm reading even 52. He said, Jesus.
No, 40. I've not gotten to 52.
40. Okay, let me see. 40. The child grew and became strong. He was full of wisdom, and God's blessing were upon him.
Praise the Lord. I'm coming to one word that will define your entire life, and that is the missing link. That is the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam. Just in one word, I'll bring it out. So, but before I get there, I want to show us some of these visible differences. He said the child grew, right? And he became what? This is the same person you read in John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Most time when God speaks and calls, it's an opportunity that he gives us. It was an opportunity he gave man in the beginning. The word you read in Genesis 1, it was an opportunity. An opportunity that was not broken into. And when he brought the second Adam, he gave him the same opportunity. The difference is that one utilized his opportunity, one did not utilize his opportunity. So he became strong. Okay, now read verse 52. Concerning the same...
And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men.
You know, sometimes you wish some certain scriptures are not in the Bible. He said Jesus increased in what?
In wisdom and stature.
In wisdom
and stature.
This is the same Jesus that in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead. The wisdom of the Godhead is living inside of him. But he grew in wisdom. And in what? He grew in wisdom and in stature. Can you see? The journey that Adam did not take, Jesus undertook that journey in the spirit. That's what I'm saying. That image. You know? The journey that man did not take in the first order of man, Jesus undertook that journey. He grew in wisdom. So that man too was supposed to grow in wisdom and in stature. And that wisdom of God was what will have used to overcome the serpent in the garden. Serpent or dragon, any other thing. I don't want us to focus on that. I want to say it relates with us and our lives and just understand God's general purpose. So you can see that Jesus himself grew. Then look at Hebrews 5, verse 7. You are quoting verse 8, but it's verse 7 I want to read. Who is reading Hebrews 5, 7 for us?
Ooh.
I'm talking about, wait, listen. Who am I talking about now? Jesus. What did you say about Jesus? He did what? Eh? Jesus what? I want you to underline that word, grew. He had a predestiny before he came. There were so many things about the Son of God, this and that, Emmanuel, God with us. So you just think that maybe God will just appear from heaven and be with us. You say Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He waxed strong in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Okay. Who is reading Hebrews 5:7?
Who in the grace of the flesh?
Okay. Ooh, like, let me take a reason from Pastor Collins. Okay.
In his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and tears to God, who could save him from death. Because he was humble and devoted, God heard him.
Praise the Lord. Can you see what was written about Jesus? That's what? He could have also fallen. He could have fallen to temptation. True or false? True or false? He was not a God or somebody, a being that could not have been tempted. He could have fallen to temptation. The Bible said he cried to God and God helped him because of his what? Because of his reverent submission, right? Because he feared. Then now go to the next verse.
The next verse, it said, but even though he was God's son, he learned through his suffering to be obedient.
Now, the word I've been talking about since is obedience. Praise the Lord. What did I say is the word I've been talking about since?
Obedience.
That's the difference between the first and the last, and the second Adam. The difference between Adam, Christ, and that will be the difference between you and any other person that have served God. When we all get to glory. He say, obedience. Now, before God made man, I'll say this one briefly, then I'll continue. Before God made man, sin was already what? Eh? Sin was already in existence. Sin, this thing called sin, was already in existence. All this, say heaven and all this hell, all those things, God has already, spirits have already rebelled everything. Now, when God created man, outside of every other destiny that man had, it was even in God's own plan that it is in man that is going to judge sin. Praise the Lord. In God's plan, to even man is going to judge sin. In man, Go to Daniel chapter 9:24. So this is not a small God's plan. Even sin that angels sin, God judged them in man. Praise the Lord. Even angels that rebelled, angels that seized, God judged them in man. Okay, look at it. This is, let's be fast. Daniel 9:24. Okay, you've seen it.
70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy.
Okay, praise the Lord. So when the angels sing, God judged them. Jesus said that for judgment I come to this world. He said, and now he said, I come for sin, for righteousness, and for judgment. In John 16, he said, for judgment because of the prince of this world is the prince of this world is judged. So in God judge God, man also judge sin. Judge sin. First Corinthians 6 verse 3. Is First or Second Corinthians 6? No. He said, do you not know that we shall judge what? Yes. Angels that left their first estate, God reserved them in chains of judgment. So through the obedience of man, like the Bible says, Noah by his obedience condemned the world in his time. So through obedience, that's the Bible says we can judge angels. Then in Christ, God even judged some of those princes that rebel. Now, the difference between the two, now I've come to what I want to explain. I'll try to tie it here now. The difference, what did I say the difference?
Obedience.
Obedience. Now, everything that we have in the second beginning came because of one thing, because of the obedience of Christ. And everything that man lost in the first beginning came because of what? Came because of disobedience. So everything is come on the foundation of what? Obedience. So, as at even the time that God made Adam, the call to obey was hanging up on his head. Even when God said that you should not eat of this tree.
Yes,
the day you eat of it, you die. The call of obedience on his head. So, and if he had, and in yielding to that call, that's why I say if man had not seen, what would have happened, right? I don't know. God did not tell us that portion. But what I have simply established that the call of obedience was hanging upon his head, and the man did not obey. But when Christ came, Christ had the same calling. He had the same temptation in similar manner. He had the same instruction, everything. But Christ decided, guys, choose to obey, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, go to one scripture in John. John 15, verse 10. Then another person will open. You can read it if you are there. There's another scripture I want to open. I'm coming. I'm looking for it. Okay. John 8:29. Open to John 8:29. Okay. Read John.
You keep my commandments. You abide in my law. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments.
Now, what did you see there? You say for Jesus it was not automatic. He said most of the favor, everything he has received from God is because he does what? Read it now. It's where you are reading there. What did he say? He said if you keep my commandment, right? If you keep my commandment, what did he say?
You abide in my law. Just as I have kept my Father's
commandment. I established that Jesus grew. He grew in wisdom, stature. I'm establishing a second thing now that he said that he kept his Father's commandment and he abided in the Father's love. Now go to John 8:29.
The Father has not moved, for I do always those things that pleases him.
Please read it again.
And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that pleases him.
Okay. What was the reason that Jesus gave here that the Father was always with him? Because of the obedience. Can you see? So, in the day that God made man, I repeat, there was this that obedience, because even Satan, they rebelled, they disobeyed. So, when God made man, and in that man, he was going to prove to princes that he can have being and creatures that could obey and love him and everything. So when he gave the man that instruction not to eat that tree, he said, in the day you eat it, you will die. It's not because God was just condemning and judging him, you know. So ultimately what was there was to prove his obedience. Praise the Lord. To prove his obedience. So in eating that tree, or maybe in that disobedience, the man fell. Then in obedience, the man was restored. You know, and in obedience, because if you read, I won't open it. If you read the garden, you read that there were two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But if you go to Revelation, the new world, go and compare the two of them together. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was no longer there again. Why? You ask yourself why. Why have you even thought about it? Eh? Eh? Why? Why was it not there? Eh? In the first beginning, there was darkness. The darkness was covering the earth. In the new second beginning, in the new way the Bible ended, there was no longer darkness, right? He said there is no darkness, it is light, right? In the tree of the evil of good and evil is no longer there. All of those things have disappeared. But do you know why those things have been taken away? Praise the Lord. He didn't only stop there. In that garden of Eden, he said there were about river parted into four. It was a river. But that river had become the river of life. It was a river, right? In that place. But in the other one, it's the river of life. What is the difference? I pray God to give us understanding. The difference is this one word. In Jesus, don't forget, I said that Satan had rebelled. Satan was still very much around. He could make his noise, right? Can Job serve you for nothing? If you touch him, Job will not serve you. Abby? So that has been the age-long contention that man cannot love God or serve God. But when Christ obeyed, that's why. So when he came, he tried tempted the man fell. But when he came and Christ obeyed, and because Christ obeyed, then we are now everything we have in God now are given into an account of Christ. And that's why in that perfect obedience to the Father, that was what uprooted the evil tree out of the garden. In that perfect obedience, I repeat, right? That tree was there to test obedience, right? When obedience has been perfected and completed, that is what uprooted that tree out of the garden. In that perfect obedience, when that obedience has been complete, that is what judged Satan in Revelation 20. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then, that scripture, 2 Corinthians. Then, can you see? So, if you can see now, the difference there is obedience. So, what the contention, everything there was obey the man who obeyed. If the man will obey, I don't know. That's why I say God will not change his course, but he can take a more difficult road. Israel was supposed to go to that land in 40 days. But when they disobeyed, what happened? They went there in 40 years. I'm sure that disobedience that brought Jesus to come and die. Maybe if man had obeyed and proven that obedience, all of this story of Jesus coming to die would not have been there. Praise the Lord. Man would have gradually walked into that destiny. I don't know. You get what I'm saying? If the disobedience that brought Jesus to die, that's why I say God did not change his original intent for man. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And that image, the Bible says that Jesus is the image of God. And we decide to look at the content of that image. The Bible says the fullness of God dwells in what? In him. Say, I am my Father and one. If you see me, you've seen the Father. You know, that's the full stature, the full nature of who God is in the spirit. That man too will carry it in himself. And we say that in the day that God made that man had not carried it. You know why? Because he has not fulfilled the condition of obedience. The Bible says Jesus became the author of eternal salvation because he did what? Because he obeyed now. The Bible says he learned obedience by the things he suffered.
Yes.
And having perfected obedience, he became the author. Can you see? Jesus became the author of eternal salvation because he did what? Because of this one word, obedience. Then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That weapon of our warfare are not carnal. He said, having in readiness to avenge what? All disobedience. When what is complete? Please, I want all of us to echo it too. Can you echo it? 2 Corinthians 10:4. Oh, let's start from the weapon. Are we there? Verse 4, 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down what? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself. Can you see that tree? Can you see what to cast that tree out of the garden? That tree that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I told her that in the new beginning, Revelation 21:22, most of the things parallel in the beginning were there. But darkness was not there. The tree of life was not there. And I said it was obedience that uprooted it out. Right? Is that not what I said? He said casting down imagination. Right? Casting down, pulling down argument and every high thing. That tree of the evil of the knowledge of good and evil. That exalt itself against the knowledge of what? That tree, was it not the knowledge of good and evil? Abi? Was it not exalting itself above the knowledge of God? Because the day they ate it, the Bible said their eyes were open and they fell into darkness. Okay, now continue reading it. That exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into what? Captivity to the obedience of Christ. and being ready to punish what? This all disobedience includes the disobedience of Satan. Can you see? That's why Christ judged the disobedience of Satan. Amen. He said, and had and been ready to punish all disobedience when your what? So man did not fulfill obedience in the garden, so he could not judge disobedience. He now even shared destiny with his disobedience, right? And then Christ came, he obeyed and stopped that destiny for man, and then judged what? And then judged disobedience. Praise the Lord. So what I have tried to explain, and now I'll now come back to the seven promises given in the Revelation. The most important assignment for man in the garden was to eat the tree of life. And like I told us in the last message we did, that he could not eat that tree until what? Until he overcome the tree of death, right?
Yes.
If you still remember, I won't go into the detail, that he must conquer that tree of death to eat what? He must conquer death to eat life. He must overcome that tree by obedience, right?
Yes.
To eat the tree of life. Even Jesus had to overcome death to what? Or to become the author of eternal salvation, or to be able to dispense life. He was never dead. He always had life. But he still had to overcome death, that temptation, all those trials. You know, the Bible says he cried, so that he could what? And God delivered him. Who could deliver him from death? That death was not dying on the cross. It was the death of what? Sin. So Jesus himself had to be delivered from death. God had to help him. Let me put it that way. So you need to overcome death for him to dispense life. Praise the Lord. Then, because it was after he overcame. Praise the Lord. He said, just like I, what did he say in Revelation? To him that overcome will sit with me on my throne. Just like I too have to what? I too have to overcome and sit with my Father on his throne. So the man had a destiny. Amen.
Amen.
You and I had a destiny to conquer the destiny that was attached to obedience. It was that obedience. So that's why eating the tree of life. Look at it now. I'm not going to take it now. I'm going to round it up here. See, I said, what was the most important assignment for man in the garden? All those dominion over the tree of the air. What happened to it at the end of the day? Was it not lost? The most important assignment was to overcome that evil tree. That conquer that tree by obedience and eat the tree of life. Praise the Lord.
Uh-huh.
So that one will have transformed all those garden you are seeing. All those garden will have transformed me to what? In place of what will have, in the place of that garden will have the new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. That same garden, first God gave man that garden to live in the garden. But in the new beginning, after the fruit of Jesus' obedience, God gave man the new Jerusalem to live in. The temple will be, God himself will be the temple of that town, of that something. It's not the garden again, right? So in place of the garden, obedience has transformed the garden to new Jerusalem. Obedience has uprooted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And obedience obliterated darkness out of creation, eternally and immortally. Praise the Lord. This word, obedience. So man's destiny was to eat what? I said the most important assignment was for him to eat what? To eat life. And that's what you eat when you become born again. That is, in Christ is a new creation. You eat life. So when you are in Christ, when you are born again, God gives you that tree to eat. Amen. Because of Jesus' obedience. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because of Jesus' obedience, God gives you that tree to eat. When you get born again, you eat life, right? That's what the man will have eaten that tree. So that's why I say in the last message that the man never even started his life before he fell. He starting his life was beginning with eating the tree of life. Praise the Lord. Which was symbolic of the life of the Father. Which was symbolic of this the fullness of the Godhead. In him dwell the full nature of God. I and the Father are one. If you see me, you've seen the Father. The Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's First Corinthians chapter 6, right? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Then, and the, ultimately the Spirit of God will come and live inside of you. We say that God's image. He said that as many as are led by the Holy Ghost are what? Sons of the God. He said, if any man does not have the Spirit of God, he does not what? Belong to Christ. He does not have the Holy Ghost indwelling inside of him. Praise the Lord. So, and that thing is a product and a fruit of obedience. Praise the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 5. Are we understanding? Is it clear? No, this kind of thing, you listen and you now go get the tape, listen and do study. That's why I said the Iberian Christians, they were very noble because they cite the scripture to see that if these things were what? If these things were so. Acts chapter 5 verse 30, he said, the God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree, him God has exalted to his right hand, to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. He said, we are his witnesses to this thing, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who what? God give the Holy Ghost to those who what? It's, can you see, it's a fruit and a product of obedience. Now, that's the Holy Ghost. Then now, look at Hebrews chapter 7. Look at Hebrews 7. He said, God gives the Holy Ghost to those who does what? So that means a fruit and a fruit of what? Obedience. As many as are led by the Holy Ghost are the sons of God. Those are the ones that are in God's image, that bears his image and his likeness. Okay. So that was what brought the difference between what you see in the first beginning that man had and the later beginning that God was giving to man. Again, it was, the difference was obedience. So I say, look at it now. I was doing an analogy that what was his first call in the garden? Overcome that evil tree and eat life. So when he eat life, the Bible says he will not be. Look at the promises. So it follows this line of. Now look at, these are the things we got in Christ. So when we got born again, what happened? We will have a new nature, right? If they threw us like that, he said he will not be hurt by the second death. So even that hurt by the second death. And I said, what is the second death? The second death is the destiny of Satan. That's eternal judgment and condemnation. So when man sinned in the garden, he had not gotten there. He was going there, but Jesus intercepted it. So in eating that tree of life, in obedience, in obeying God, you avoid what? You avoid what? You avoid the second death. Praise the Lord. Then, avoid the second death. What's the next thing that I wrote down? So that obedience, what does it give to man? It gives you a new identity in God. Praise the Lord. It gives you a new identity. Even Christ, the Bible says, after his resurrection, he said, because I overcame, I start with my Father on his throne. All authority, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus had an authority that he did not have before when he became, he dropped it in heaven, but when he became a man, he lost that authority. And when he obeyed God, when he obeyed, he now got back to that authority. Can you see? God gave him a new name, and with a new name comes what?
Authority.
With a new name comes authority, right? Then, this is the first four. Then the last three have to do with what? The heaven. This one now, they say, I will introduce him to what? My Father. Oh, do you remember that Jesus said that he that confessed me before men, what did he say he would do? I will confess him before what? I will confess him before my Father and his angel. Then there's another scripture that talks about the Father and his angel. I can't remember it again. About himself. Matthew 10. Please. Let me check Matthew 10:32. That's the scripture that talks about I will confess him before. Okay, whoever confesses me before men, all right. Okay, now go to Revelation 5:5. Revelation 5:5. That was Jesus saying that whoever confesses me before men, right? I'll confess him before my Father. Revelation 5:5 says that. Yes. He said, one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has what? Prevailed, he has overcome. To open the sea. That's how Jesus got his side. He said, I will introduce him to my Father. I'll give him a place in my Father's house, and then I'll give him access to sit what? On the throne. You see that these last three destiny was not part of what was in Genesis 1 and 2 when God gave promise to man. Praise the Lord. That's why I told you it was only limited to the earth. So what I was just simply said in analogy is that this image and likeness thing is a core. So in hiding that call, praise the Lord. In hiding that call, we open up man to what? What's the ultimate inheritance to open man to? No, okay, tree of life, that's the beginning. Can you see? It began with the tree of life and ended with sitting with God on the throne. I say, who is qualified to sit on the throne? The person that carries God's what?
Nature,
the divine nature. So ultimately, that's carrying God's nature. That's why I said the day we see him in 1 John 3, that when we see him, we become like him. Praise the Lord. So that is the journey that God made man to undertake. That's why I say getting to know God. As you know God more, you become more like him. And when you become more like him, you are able to do the thing that he does. Praise the Lord. Any question? Praise the Lord. You go and get the message part one and read it and look at it and open your Bible and look at it. But the summary, the short and fall on it, that God can use you, right?
Yes,
God can use you on it. But that's not your ultimate calling. What's your ultimate calling? Let us make man in what?
Amen.
You see that image in our image and in our likeness. That image and likeness is a calling. And I say the day God made man, it was a calling. Even Jesus himself, that Jesus, the Son of God, you heal us, it was a calling. Jesus had to grow into that calling, right? So even the image calling in Genesis, man was supposed to grow into that what? Image calling. That is the sum and that is the purpose of man. God is eternal. And it will take what? It will take you spending your entire life on earth to knowing God to grow. Amen. I say God is eternal. You need to spend your entire life on earth knowing him. Praise the Lord. If you really want to know him. It's not something you just do it like when I was hot, when I just got born again, when I know. Your entire life on earth, you spend it, amen. You keep seeing God and seeing more and more. That scripture that Tokwe quoted, he said, the God of our father has called you, Paul, that you may see that just one. Hear the voice of hear the voice of his mouth and then know his will. That's why Paul keep calling all these things. Shall he call them mystery? He said, these things were hidden. It was there since the day that God created man. This destiny has been hanging over man. That's why he calls it mystery, but it's not being revealed. In the day that all these things, as you are reading Genesis, there were mysteries that were hidden. Let us make man in our image. God made the sun, the light. There were mysteries that were hidden. In the days of during the apostolic time, when after Jesus had come and God, then God started now releasing it to man. Praise the Lord. And so when you just read the beginning, like, it does not just stop there. So the purpose and heart of all of this message that you should spend your entire life on earth knowing God and becoming like him. And then doing the things that God wants you to do on it. Praise the Lord. So the assignment does not supersede the becoming. Amen. So it's a message you have all known. It's something that all of us have a generation knowledge, but we just try to bring it, you know, from another light. Trying to bring it, open scripture upon scripture and make us see it in another light. Please, can we pray? In the absence of no question. Eh? Okay. Okay.
Before the message began, the difference between service and seeking.
Okay, so from the things you have had now, is beyond serving, right? He said, I want to make man to be like me. Don't you know what it means to be like me? So when Jesus came and he said that, that's why they were saying Jesus was the image of God. Praise the Lord. That let us make man in our image. So when Jesus became a man, in the capacity as a man, he became the image of God. And the Bible says Jesus grew into that image. Jesus obeyed God, you know, to assess all those things he has said. That scriptures I read from you from John, he said, my father, because I do the things that please him, right? That my father hears me always because I do the things that please him. He said that I overcame and I'm sitting down with God on his throne, Revelation 3. So it is beyond service. Service is part of it. Then in serving God, even in serving God is also an opportunity to know him. Praise the Lord. In the things that God gives you to do, in those things you'll be seeing who he is, you'll be seeing his nature. You'll be seeing God reveal himself to you, begin to understand him more. Praise the Lord. And so as you are doing the work, also an opportunity for you to also know him. But ultimately, man called man to know him and to become more like him, to be the way God is in the spirit, to be his representation on it. That Bible says the creation reveals God, right? But the ultimate expression of God is who? It's man. Praise the Lord. As far as earth is concerned, they say the ultimate revelation of God is man. Everything reveals God. The Bible says the whole creation reveals God, but man is the ultimate revelation of God. But how do you reveal the one that you don't know? How do you reveal the one that you don't know? How do you reveal the one that, and in knowing God is not academic knowledge. When you know him, you become like him. You can't say you know God and you are not like him. You can't say you know God and you don't have his patience. You can't say you know God and you don't have his love. You don't know, say you know God and you don't have his power. Jesus said, the thing that my father do, I do the same thing. That is what it means to be God's image. He said, all that the father do, I do it. He said, as the father has life in himself, even so the son have life in himself. You know, and he gives it to whomsoever he pleases. This is what it means to be the image of God. Jesus said, that's why they say, who is this that forgives sin? He said, that you may know that the son of God has power on earth to forgive sin. And that's why when he was going, he told his disciple, whoever sin you forgive is what? It is forgiven. You can do the same thing. That's why I told the disciple, I'm going over, you are the light of the world. Everything I do, you can do it. And when he left, he started doing it. True or false? He started doing it. So that is the meaning of image. That is the meaning of image. We can do the thing that he does. How? Not just, some people have been trying to do the thing that God does, but they don't want to become like God. You become like him to do the thing that he does. So this is our primary calling, to become like him and then do the things that he does. You know, in the way and manner that he has divided to each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. So it's now the ball is now in your court. So if you have become that big man on earth and you are not looking like him, those are the people that were not wearing wedding garment. That wedding garment is his nature. Is that image and likeness thing? They say they were not wearing wedding garment. You're not just talking about that just being born again alone and you are in Christ and everything. You know, you are not carrying his nature. You see, he was not wearing a wedding garment and they had to cast him out of that parable he gave. Is it Matthew 25 or there? I can't remember. Where he gave the parable. So I can't remember. He said one was not wearing the invited something and the one was not with a wedding garment. Just don't open it. Most of us know most of those things. But what I am saying is that you look at yourself in the mirror and you look at God in the mirror, then there is a resemblance. And that is what we should be pursuing every day. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen who? So if you've seen God's image, who have you seen? If you've seen God's image, you have seen what? You have seen God. So let us make what? Let's make Bro Paul in our image. So if you have seen Bro Paul, you have seen who? Yes, you've seen God's love, you've seen God's character, you've seen God's power, you've seen God's nature. So praise the Lord. Let's pray. Can you begin to appreciate your Father? Can you begin to thank him and bless him? He said, let us make man in our image. I repeat, it was a calling. It was a calling. And the first man was a figure of what God was calling him into. He just made him a figure of what he should enter. It was a calling. Let us make man in our image. And by disobedience, he was thrown out of that calling. And Jesus came and obeyed and brought him back into that same calling. So Jesus restored us back to pursue the same thing that God has told us to pursue in Genesis 1:26. That's it. So when you get born again, it's like taking you back to Genesis 1:26 to now start pursuing the thing that God wanted to pursue from the start. That's why I say God does not change his course. He gets to his destination. Even though the road might become more difficult, but because of disobedience, the road became more difficult. Jesus had to die and suffer a lot of things like that, but it's the same calling. And that's why Paul called it mystery. It has always been hanging what? It has always been hanging there. That's why I made one statement in the beginning that maybe because we fell, God gave man a higher destiny. That destiny has been a destiny that was there from the beginning. That's why they call it mystery. It was hidden. Encapsulated so that certain things should break it open. And what will have broken it open is what? Obedience. Praise the Lord. Obedience. Can you begin to bless your Father and thank him? This noble call. This is the most interesting journey on earth. This is the most interesting vocation in life. It's a vocation to be going after God, drawing near and becoming like God. And doing the things that God does. God is a deliverer, you become a deliverer. Who is the Savior? Jesus is the Savior. What did Obadiah prophesy? He said, Savior shall what? Savior shall arise out of Zion, right? And shall judge the mountain of what? Esau. They will judge disobedience. But their Savior, what qualified them to be Savior is what? His obedience. That's why the Bible says Jesus has become the author of eternal salvation to what? To all them that what? That obey him. That was the scripture I wanted to open. It's in that I said I forgot that time. That he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that what? Obey him. Hebrews chapter 5. Two things, Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter 5. I became the author of eternal salvation. To who? Who does he become author to? Have you seen it? I want all of us to echo it. Verse 9. And having been what? I want all of us to. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who was? To all who was? Can you see that word? That word has been hanging on man even before God made man. Obedience. Obedience has been hanging on his man. That was the anchor key to man's destiny. That will have what to unleash man, you know, into the fullness of the Godhead. Praise the Lord. That was what took Jesus into the fullness of the Godhead as a man. As a man, you must grow into it. What are you saying? Are you saying God made man, then the man was complete in God's fullness? No. Anything called man, man must grow into that fullness. Jesus himself grew into it. Praise the Lord. Because that was what was supposed to happen in Genesis. The man was supposed to grow into it. out of disobedience was thrown out of it. But by obedience, we came back into it. And that is the glorious journey we should undertake. So if you are not undertaking that journey, you are back to, you want to go and do the fall again the second time. Yes, now. Emeka, that's what I'm saying. If we are not undertaking this journey, we want to repeat the fall again. will not survive the second death. That's why there is no more redemption. Having tested of the powers of the age to come, that there is no redemption for that person. When you repeat this for the second time, then going further again, he said that haven't despised the Spirit of God. Abi, we should expect fiercer judgment. Hebrews 6, right? You want to repeat the call the second time, the fall the second time. Is to know him. Imagine this is all every Christian is pursuing. You know, pursuing. Certain, so many things become much more easy. Giving becomes, you know, if you are pursuing this path, giving becomes easy. If you are pursuing this path, obeying God is more small thing that you have two trousers. You have two trousers, they say, go and give one out. In fact, you tell God, should I give the two out? That is it. Some people have a car. God say, go and give out this car. They cannot give out that car. That man is not yet on this journey. A man that has hit this road. The Bible says the kingdom is like a treasure that a man sees. When he sees, he goes and sells. He sells everything that he has and he gives it away. A man that has hit this journey, this tarmac. That's why I'm showing it to us. He said, let this man, what about the young rich ruler? Jesus told him to go and get, what does he have? He compared to what he would have entered the throne. He said, an inheritance that is reserved in heaven for us. Where is the inheritance reserved? He said, in heaven. Incorruptible inheritance reserved in heaven. Then they said, a young rich ruler. Which, what did he have? His bones are gone and decayed and gone. What does he have? He said, go and sell everything and come and have treasure in heaven. Jesus was talking about heaven. The man went back. This is a man that said, you had obeyed the law. This is a man that supposedly loved God. He has done everything. He was pure. He said, I've done it. I've done it. I've done it. Jesus said, in the of a truth, you have done it. But there is one. Go and do this one. And come. Have treasure in heaven. The man ran back. Please, I want everybody to stand up and be praying. If you don't understand Christianity, the Christian call. If you don't understand it, we'll make shipwreck. No wonder Jesus said, when I come, will I still find faith on the earth? It's not just believing God for just that or believing God alone. Will I have men in this caliber? Faith. Men that will have eternity in heart. Men that will be living for the heavens. Will I find these men on earth? When I come, will I find faith on earth? You see some people say they are pastors, they are going to receive power. Eh? Say they are going to receive, say they are pastors, they are going to receive power. From demonic, mommy, water, all this. They don't understand the gospel. The first thing is even to understand where you are, understand the gospel. It's just that if you go to China now, you don't understand their laws. If they give you car to drive in China, you don't understand their traffic laws, everything. You just be breaking, you just be scattering things. Find yourself in prison. If you don't understand the gospel, that's how the devil will put us in prison. He'll put us in bondage. He will come as an angel of light. He will use our revelation to deceive us. That's why some people go to heaven. They say they will have vision, they went to heaven. After they came back from heaven, they said they saw somebody doing a weavon and is in hellfire. God, they have not understood the gospel. Can you begin to appreciate God? You may not have understood everything that has been said, but the understanding that you got, can you hold on to it in prayer? Our outlook, our perspective, everything about understanding about life changes. Life becomes richer when you have this understanding. That's why Job could say, though he slays me, yet will I trust in him. These men have content inside. They could see another. They could see another world. There were some people in Hebrews chapter 10. They scatter all their goods. The Bible says Paul was praising that you were rejoicing when your goods were taken and destroyed, and even some of you were cast into prison. He said you were rejoicing knowing that you have a better substance in heaven. The Bible says if our earthly tabernacle of this house is destroyed, we have a building in heaven which cannot be corrupted. Have you seen your own building, your own personal building in heaven? The glorious body that God wants to give you, the inheritance that he wants to give you. This is what we are talking about. Have you seen your inheritance in heaven, reserved in heaven for you? He said, we have a body in heaven which cannot be corrupted. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, our Father. And bless your Father.
Why were you created? You are created to know, to become God, become like Him. And what is the vehicle that will make us become like Him as we know Him? As we know Him, we become like Him. And after that, knowing God is becoming like Him, knowing His love, having His love, having the divine nature, having His patience, having His peace, having the joy of the Lord. We call it the peace of God. You have it. The joy of the Lord, you have it. The faith of the Son of God, you have it. Paul said, I beg you by the meekness and the patience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 13. You have it. The meekness and the patience, the gentleness of Christ, you have it. You name it about God, you have it. That is the meaning of God's image. Let us make man in our image. And I said that image thing was a call. Was a call, was a journey that that man was supposed to take. Journey. Journey. And the best place of that journey is obedience. You must obey God, obey the gospel. Obedience. Praise the Lord. I made a statement, I want to re-echo it. I said, man, when God made man, before he fell, the man had not started life. He had not even started living. Because he had not eaten the tree of life. And I said, that tree of life is all we are given to eat in Christ today as what? He that is born again is a new what? Creation. In Christ, we eat that tree. That's why, and when you, if you are not born again, you are not alive. Praise the Lord. Until you are born again, you started having life. Then you have opportunity that the Holy Ghost will come and dwell inside of your body. The first man that God created was the Holy Ghost living inside of his body. Eh? The Holy Ghost living inside of your body is what we call God's image and God's likeness. Have I defined it further? I said the Holy Ghost, having the Holy Ghost living inside is what we call what? God's image and God's likeness. If anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, does not have Him living inside, it's not what? It's not a part of Him. And as men that are led by that Spirit from within, led from within, praise the Lord, not the Spirit, led from within, they are what? Sons of God. So Jesus is the first image of God that appeared on the earth. Elijah, they were seemingly the tribe, but Jesus was the first image. He was the first man that had the Holy Ghost indwelling inside of him. And in Christ, we have the Holy Ghost now indwelling inside of us. That is God's image and likeness. Having His Spirit coming to live inside of man. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? That is the call. And it's a product of what? Obedience. It says the Holy Ghost is given to as many that obey what? Obey God. So when God created man, He gave him a word of obedience. And he didn't pass it. But in Christ, we are able to. Christ has done it for us. So in Him, we are past it. Praise the Lord. So I need us to get this and get it well. So that when you read our Bible, understand it. When you listen to messages, you understand. Nobody will bamboozle you. God will give you things. So God will give you things. God will bless us and all of those things. Great things. Some of you here will be very, very worthy by God. Some of you will be anointed to do a lot of works. Do mighty works in His name. But if you do those who walk and you don't stand in His image, when God put a mirror, you looked at the mirror, you looked at God, and you look at yourself, you are, there is no resemblance. Say, depart from me, I don't know you. You are a worker of iniquity. That's where those men got those things. Can you begin to appreciate and bless your Father? What I am saying is that you must have His peace. You must give up everything to have the peace of God. Give up everything to have the joy of the Lord inside of you. Give up everything to have His patience. Give up everything to have His gentleness and His meekness. Have His self-control. Jesus has self-control. That is God's image. Have self-control. To have His power. Can you begin to pray? Can you begin to appreciate your Father and thank Him? Oh, what a glorious journey. It's full of life. It's full of life. Can you see your company? You are come unto the Mount Zion, the city. The city of the living God. You are not living in one garden. That life, that garden you saw was pre-obedience blessing. The blessing you saw in Genesis 1 were pre-obedience what? Blessing. Obedience will transform those blessings to to after obedience blessing. That's why I say that garden became the new Jerusalem, became the city of God.
Where God himself is the light of that city, the sun does not shine there. God himself is the light of that city. Obedience, powerful. He said you will punish all disobedience. When your obedience is complete. Obedience is, okay, I want to open that one. What to call obedience? Just let me just leave it there. What we call obedience? Thank you. Thank you, Father. No obedience, I'll just it's tied to the spirit of truth that come and tabernacle inside of you. The spirit of truth living inside you, you didn't and responding to that spirit of truth, way by way, precept upon precept, line upon line. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, honor you, our Father. We thank you. If you pray, thank you, Holy Father. Help our hearts. Help us, our Father. Obedience. In Christ. Thank you. Now, if you read the praise the Lord, listen. If you read scripture like God has given us everything in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know that Jesus' obedience gave us all those things in heavenly places. But our own obedience will bring it to earthly places. Praise the Lord. Christ's obedience gave it to us in where? In heavenly places. Haven't you read the Colossians 2? It says you are complete in him. Who is the head? All principality and power. But that practical completeness on earth, your obedience, having in readiness. That's why he talk about even warfare, having in readiness to punish your disobedience. When your obedience is what? Complete. We have a complete obedience before the Father in Christ. Which gave us, as said, once we are in Christ, we are a new creature, we are going to heavenly cities. But for you to see it on earth, praise the Lord, there are some steps of obedience you will also take for you to begin to see financial breakthrough. Abi, to begin to see some measure of anointing, healing or something. Even for your children, for all of them, for their head to be correct, so that Satan will not have a gap. And go and take one of your child and turn his head upside down. Praise the Lord. You need to walk orderly, according to truth. That's why I say you shall know the truth, and truth will do what? Set you free. After you are born again, you are now in Christ, you are heavenly places, you are seated, you are complete in him, all of those accolades. But I say you will know the truth, and the truth what? Will set you free. Free emotionally, academically, spiritually, everywhere, maritally. Maritally. You can be married and still be in bondage in your marriage. But in fact, both of you be in bondage. And betray me and be trading blade. Is that woman? My wife is too stubborn. My husband too, he doesn't take to correction. Both, in fact, the truth is that both of you are living in what? In bondage. And is it not Andy that acted one film in the early 90s, living in bondage? You'll be married and be living in bondage if you don't know the truth. You shall know the truth. How do you know the truth? You know what it means? When you yield and submit to the spirit of truth that is living inside of you, he will take you into truth. He said he will teach you, he will guide you into all truth. Praise the Lord. May you bless him while we to tie it up in this place. Father, we appreciate you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you for releasing the counsel of peace upon us. Thank you for releasing life. Thank you for impartation. Thank you for strength. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
No. Just let's bless the man of God. He has blessed us. Please, let's pray for him. Could remember that I was trying, I drive a message to send it for him. Happy New Year or whatever. So immediately I finished it, I was trying to send it. And the Spirit of God was telling me, no, you cannot send it. Then pray for him, the message of God, let him, to desire me more. I was asking myself, wait, to desire me more. Ah, Pastor Dave, I could not send it on that very day. But when I got to church, it was the same thing that the man of God was preaching that very day. I go, as a God, I thank you. Maybe when if you can still check that message, I send the one I wanted to send, and I'll tell you, this is exactly one the God was telling me to send. So let's use the opportunity, the mercy and the power of God, to desire him the more. When I was coming to that, I was asking God, desire you more. Why? He said, because this is the beginning. He still have a lot of things to do in life. So let's pray for him.
Amen.
The power that immersed to desire you more. Fire to desire you more. More of you. Fire. More of you.
tomorrow. Don't be silent.